Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. We are so sorry for the technical difficulties that we have. I hope and see everyone can see. Can everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones? If you
yes,
know
yes,
how.
Yes.
Okay, praise the Lord. Blessed Sabbath, everyone. On this blessed Sabbath, January 30th, 2021, this is our lesson 322, our second part of the review entitled On the Mount of Olives of our chapter 69. Let's pray that all of the brethren will be able to come in as well. Our tiny talk song is entitled Praise Him, All You Little Children, and our dear brother Graves will be able to share it for us.
Praise Him, all ye little children. God is love, God is love. Praise Him, all ye little children. God is love, God is love. Love Him, all ye little children. God is love. God is love. Love Him, all ye little children. God is love, God is love. Thank Him, all ye little children. God is love, thank Him, all ye little children. God is love. Serve Him, all ye little children. God is love, serve Him, all ye little children. God is love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If any one of the little ones held by their parents or the older siblings would like to open our story time with prayer, may you unmute them, my dear one.
Oh, may we bow our heads as far and our knees as far as we can. Heavenly Father, who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. Father Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to study your word. Thank you for bringing the little children. Help them that they may be blessed. Open their ears and their attention so that they can learn about you, Lord Jesus. And also the older little children that needs also this type of lessons, Father Jesus. Bless and keep us all. May you be with the technology, I pray, and continue to bless us throughout this day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So let's use our listening ears, little one, and the older ones could be able to help along. Our dear brother Gray will be the one to review our lesson from last Sabbath.
Good morning again, children. God's Children, Part 4. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. That's Genesis 2:3, King James Version. Then when they had watched and listened to the choir, then they saw, and he had been there all the while, they saw their heavenly Father, God. You might call him the preacher, but he was more than that. He was their teacher. For on this Sabbath day, they didn't just sit and listen to a sermon. Their Father, God, came and took them by the hand and led them out through the garden, the beautiful, wonderful home he had made for them. It was his first inspection. He wanted to check it out and see how it looked. First inspection of the world he had made. And he shared it with his children. It would take us all day to tell of the things he showed them and taught them. The flowers and all the colors of the rainbow. And there, that was, I think there's seven in the rainbow, and there's a lot more colors than that in heaven. And the trees with their leafy branches, waving a welcome in the breeze. And the brooklets, those are little creeks, little rivers, creeks, smaller than a creek, dancing their ripples over the precious stones of their beds. Beds, you think? A brook has a bed? Well, we speak of a river having a river bed. It's where the river runs, so that's where that word comes in. The diamonds and rubies and sapphires and emeralds, those aren't everyday rocks. And the gold and the silver ledges. And the birds singing and the fishes leaping, flinging the pearly water droplets from their shining coats of mail. The reason they say coats of mail is because most fish have scales and they look like a coat of mail, or a coat of mail looks like the scales on a fish, whichever way you want to think of that. And the animals walking and running and leaping or grazing quietly in the meadows by the river and the sea. And the blue waters lapping with low sounds on the shore. And the heavenly odors that they smelled, and the many luscious or good-tasting fruits born on the trees, and the mosses. This is something green that grows on the north side of trees and rocks, and the shells and the jewel-encrusted rocks. Why, this was a Sabbath school, the very first Sabbath school that ever was held, with God and the angels and all creation. And I suppose they didn't just walk with solemn steps like you do at a wedding or a funeral all the way. They were not afraid of God, for they were his children, and they loved him, and the angels loved them, and they loved the angels all too. So sometimes I suppose, just like little children, they took the hand of the angels and ran and laughed with them. And when they came to the brook or to the seashore, they waded right in with their bare feet and laughed at the waters rippling over them. They climbed the green hills and swung on the long vines and played with all the animals. And had the happiest time. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, or made it holy, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Genesis 2:3, King James Version. And next week, we'll find out what follows. Thank you for listening. Let me find this picture here and undo my mic. Back to you, Rose.
Brother Dick, I have a question. Creation was done in the 6 days, and on the seventh day they rested, and Adam and Eve was just, I would say, in human terms, 1 day old when they had their first Sabbath. They did a whole lot of things on the Sabbath, and they learned a whole lot. Is it because that with God there is no time? How were they able to do so many things on that first Sabbath?
If you understand computers, Adam and Eve's mind were better than our computers. And you know how it works. If you download a program, it works instantly. Everything is in place. And that's the way Adam and Eve's minds were. God downloaded the program of life to them, and they recognized everything, and they knew the names of things. They didn't have to go through grade school like we do or did. And that was something wonderful. Does that answer your question?
I think so. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Rose, back to you.
Before you guys move on, I have a question about the story. If Adam and Eve knew everything, then when the serpent came, why couldn't they realize that was the devil and to not eat the fruit?
Well, now, that's a good question, Ethan. You are thinking, maybe I overstated the case. When we download a program, it works great, and it does everything it's supposed to do until somebody puts a virus in there. The Lord didn't tell them all about evil. He just said that it existed. And the devil came along and said, here's something you ought to know. You ought to know about evil. Well, God saw fit for them not to know, so he didn't tell them. And so Eve thought, well, I got to know what this is. God must have left something out of our instructions. So she yielded to the devil or the serpent's temptation to find out what evil was. And because she yielded, we understand what evil is today, actually. We don't understand what righteousness is. Did that help you, Ethan?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, I should say? Apparently not. Back to you, Rose.
I would like to add towards that some lesson for children. On the day of the Sabbath, as the Lord was communing with them, they were able to see the beauty that's in the garden. But also, the Lord had given them to be aware of something that they were supposed to touch. And that was located on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So the Lord also told them that there was something that they were not supposed to be able to touch. No handle, no kiss. So just keep in mind, sometimes when she walks with you outside, they said that you're in the garden, or maybe you're outside in another place where they have many buildings. Remember that the Lord had warned them of all the beautiful things that they brought to take off. He showed them the beauty of the garden, but also he also remembered the danger. Just the same way how a mommy would tell you, wait at that corner, do not cross the street without me. So there were lessons in the garden of all the beauties and also of the danger that was around. So Ethan, just like mommy and your family or your uncle or your older siblings, might ask you to be careful and be aware of it. You don't have to live in your evil to understand what evil is. There are sometimes warnings and admonition that the Lord will give us in the Word of God when your mommy and I tell you. We have to be obedient because we already know what happened when Eve was not obedient to what I had told them, not to be able to go to the children and show them evil. So even though that they had the knowledge of many things beautiful in their time, they also was aware of certain things that they were supposed to handle. So you see, even our parents, our first parents, I believe, was given the privilege to enjoy the beauty of the garden, there was a lesson also to obey. And that's the same thing about us. We have a lesson as well. We have the Ten Commandments. And remember, they tell us what we have to do. And because we know the instruction of the commandments, we are aware of the evil when we don't. So I hope and pray that you all were blessed. We are having difficulties with the audio. It has to be okay. So I pray that y'all will be here. Otherwise, we can always talk about it after our service. And we apologize. So next week, we will continue in our chapter 3 of our story time lesson, but we will end with our 5. So remember, little ones, a little while will Jesus make it all right. And we hope and pray that you'll be able to continue the lesson with your mommy and daddy, that they may be able to explain a little further of the beauty of what I'm an evil doing in the garden on a Saturday. It was at school, just like you are right now. So our opening song is a switch song taken from Psalms 34, verses 11, 13, to 14. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He had a funny word. The lips from speaking guile, be far from evil and good. He that comes from evil, and the lips from speaking guile, seek peace and pursue it. Psalms 34, 11, 13, and 14. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He that hath holy will and lives from speaking guile, be far from evil and good. He that hath holy will and lives from speaking guile, seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 34, 11, 13, and 14. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. If anyone of the says oh, I can't really do anything.
So sometimes you can come.
Ask just a minute, girls.
Sasha, we bend our knees and our hearts because we are beginning to pray. Lord Father God, thank you for another day. Thank you for the technology, even though TT Rose audio is a little bit bad, please continue to deliver our enemies into an end. Keep us from the thing. King evil, we shall give us the spirit to know what is evil and what is not. Give us the knowledge to do right from wrong. Give us the strength to overcome our enemies, Lord. I ask you to give TT knows another audio so that she may be able to prep so her audio can be better. And he especially in prepping. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear Brother Ethan. Our opening verse for our review lesson is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 and 11, margin, and it's also a memory verse, and we hope by God's grace, can everyone hear me so far?
Yes. Praise God.
Praise God.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So what have we learned in ways we have grown, dear ones? Before we begin to hear your question, your comments, or anything you would like to share with your dear Remnant family, we will take a few minutes to reread what we had learned from last Sabbath in our part one of our lesson entitled On the Mount of Olives in our study book, Desire of Ages. Just to be able to give you a clue, this is what the storyline is going to be based on the place. This is Mount of Olives, and we're going to begin. We are in page 627. If anyone of the dear Remnant family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
The Desire of Ages, page 627. Christ's words to the priests and rulers, behold, your house is left unto you desolate, Matthew 23:38. That struck terror to their hearts. They affected indifference, but the question kept rising in their mind as to the import of these words. An unseen danger seemed to threaten them. Could it be that the magnificent temple, which was the nation's glory, was soon to be a heap of ruins? The foreboding of evil was shared by the disciples, and they anxiously waited for some more definite statement from Jesus. And on the slide on the left says, behold, your house is being left to you desolate, Matthew 23:38. And Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings to him. He said to them, do ye not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. Matthew 24:1-2. Next slide, please.
And continuing on Desire of Ages, page 627. As they passed with him out of the temple, they called his attention to the strength and beauty. The stones of the temple were of the purest marble, of perfect whiteness, and some of them almost fabulous size. A portion of the wall had withstood the siege by Nebuchadnezzar's army. In its perfect masonry, it appeared like one solid stone dug entire from the quarry. How those mighty walls could be overthrown, the disciples could not comprehend. Desire of Ages, page 627, paragraph 1. Amen.
Continuing the reading, Desire of Ages, page 627, paragraph 2. As Christ's attention was attracted to the magnificence of the temple, what must have been unuttered thoughts of that rejected one? The view before him was indeed beautiful, but he said with sadness, "I see it all. The buildings are indeed wonderful. You point to these walls as apparently indestructible, but listen to my words. The day will come when there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And on the slide, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And that is taken from Matthew chapter 24, verse 2, King James Version.
Christ's words has been spoken in the hearing of a large number of people. But when he was alone, Peter, John, James, and Andrew came to him as he sat up. It came to him as he sat upon the Mount of the Olives. "Tell us," they said, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. Jesus did not answer his disciples by taking up separately that the destruction of Jerusalem and the great and the great day of his coming. Next slide, please. Continuing. His prophetic words reached beyond that event. The final conflagration in that day when the Lord shall rise out of his place to punish the world for their iniquity, when the earth shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. This entire discourse was given not for the disciples only, but for those who should live in the last scenes of the earth history. Desire of Ages, page 628, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 628. He mingled the description of these two events. Had he opened his disciples' future events as he beheld them, they would have been unable to endure the sight. In mercy to them, he blended the description of the two great crises, leaving the disciples to tell out the meaning for themselves. We refer to the destruction of Jerusalem. Next slide, please. Turning Turning to the disciples, Christ said, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. Many false messiahs will appear, claiming to work miracles, and declaring that the time of the deliverance of the Jewish nation has come. This will mislead many." Christ's words were fulfilled. Next slide, please.
Continuing.
Mommy.
Between. His death.
My
God, bless you. And.
And.
The siege.
The siege.
Of.
Jerusalem.
Many.
Many.
False messiahs.
Appeared.
Thank you. But.
But
this warning
was given
also to those
who live
in this age
of the world.
The same deceptions. Very good. Practiced
prior
to the destruction,
of
Jerusalem
have
been practiced
through
the ages
and
will be practiced again. Desire of Ages, page 628, paragraph 2. And on this slide, it shows a timeline of Jerusalem and all of the, I think it's the rulerships that happened. So from 3150 through 1006 BC was the Canaanites. And then also following that was the Israelites, or the Jewish, and the Hellenists, which were the Greeks, the Romans, the Byzantines, which were Christians, early Muslim conquest, the Crusaders, which is also Christians, and the Mamluks, and Ottoman Muslim, and the British, and the state of Israel, which was Jewish. And that's the last one for the state of Israel is 1948 through present time. Amen.
Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 628. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Prior to the destruction of Jerusalem, men wrestled for the supremacy. Emperors were murdered. Those supposed to be standing next to the throne were slain. There were wars and rumors of wars. All these things must come to pass, said Christ. Next slide, please. But the end of the Jewish nation as a nation is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Christ said, as the rabbis see these signs, they will declare them to be God's judgment upon the nations for holding in bondage his chosen people. We will continue with part two.
Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. So let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. For sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned and ways we have grown, dear ones? And the questions that we have held from last Sabbath for our reading comprehension are these six. Wish number one. Who is the main character or characters, dear one? What is the main idea for this section of our story? Where did the story take place? Four, when did the story begin? Five, how could you relate to the story? Six, what did you learn from these lessons, dear one? And if you can be able to text your answers in the room, or you can unmute your mic, and you just tell us which one is going to be the one that you're going to answer. You could share it with the rest of your family in the room. So to give you hope of your faith, dear ones, may you unmute your mic.
That the main characters of this story are Jesus and the disciples, and they were in, and I think that they were in Jerusalem or in some other place.
Another main character would be the Jewish nation.
It must be somebody, isn't it?
The answer to question two is Christ telling his disciples. The main idea of the section of the story is Christ telling his disciples about future events before his coming.
The answer to number three is where is it? On the Mount of Olives.
On the Mount of Olives. The story began also in the Mount of Olives.
And also, it is taking place in the front or the front part of the temple, looks like, or in the temple.
Outer court.
The answer number five, which is relate to the story, is Jesus warned the disciples about these happenings so that they can prepare themselves.
And I actually want to add on to what Josh was saying, because Jesus was preparing them for any evil to come, but like he did with Adam and Eve, too. Well, not fully, but God didn't tell them. God did not tell Adam and Eve about evil, and he's telling his disciple what evil is. So I think that that's actually very good, because you're learning about the power of evil and how to defeat.
We can also, maybe later on a day, we can be able to read the book of redemption, where the Lord had given our first parents a little bit of what happened in the fall when Satan was cast down. of Jeremiah. Okay. So what have you learned from the lesson, dear ones? This is number 6, and it will be really great to hear the hope of your faith concerning this story. The story is very meaty, and I hope and pray that the parents may sit and can be able to break it down a little bit more, because it's not only for what happened in the biblical time when Jesus was walking with his disciple. It also is for our time, because the physical Jerusalem was destroyed, but now a spiritual Jerusalem that will come to his destruction as well. And we pray that the parents may sit and be able to discuss this very important story with the children. I will bow down if anyone would like to share what they have learned from the story. May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Well, I would like to go back to the first story for little children. I think the writer of that story got some of the facts wrong, because the first Sabbath was not spent with little children. The first Sabbath was with Adam. Eve was not created yet, and there were no children. I think the story could have read better and more accurate if it had said the children's first Sabbath or the children's Sabbath, and leave out that that was the first Sabbath right after creation. That is not right, and you must tell the truth to the children, because they can carry a false misrepresentation along with them for a long time. I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but that was just something that struck me when Brother Dick was reading the story. And it's not Brother Dick's fault. That's what was written.
I mean, they could have just put the first Sabbath wasn't with the children, because it was with Adam and Eve, and we know that Adam and Eve weren't children, even though the Bible says that they were one day old. As we would see now, one day old would mean if you were a baby, but really back to creation in Bible times, that really wasn't the case with Adam and Eve.
Thank you so much, dear Sister Jean, for helping us. Is Sister Joan, sorry. Thank you so much, dear Sister Joan, for helping us and also for giving us a way to be able to determine the book that we have selected. We are praying by God's grace that any one of the dear family will be able to help old Sister Joan to select a book that we can be able to, or can we get the book to be given to any one of the brethren so that they can be able to examine the book, that we can better serve our dear little ones by God's grace.
I think the book has some really nice illustrations, but sometimes the writer of the book doesn't follow, well, in this case, didn't follow scripture with what the storyline was. And we need to speak the truth. I don't mean to criticize anything, but it kind of raised a red flag. Someone may be a little disturbed over that, and we don't want that to happen.
Amen. It's okay, dear sister. We agree, and we are so thankful that we do have elders that we can be able to help one another. And we are praying that another book, or even if the chapters can be able to be read and examined before is given. So we will ask our dear brother Dick to be able to see if he can be able to either forward some of the chapters to use, dear sister, or anyone that would like to take the opportunity to do so, that we can be more effective to the grace and to the glory of God. And we thank you, dear sister. There's no reason to apologize. We are so grateful that we do have the privilege of having our openness to talk to one another whenever something is not glorifying God or blessing our children. Well, dear ones, we will continue discussing this on the side, and we have a poem that we would like to share with everyone. It's entitled, Mine, My Parents. It's taken from Family Bible Lesson, Years 2, Quarter 2, Lesson 4, from page 97, from the Children Activity Book from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling for the Bible. If any one of the dear remnant family would like to take one of the verses, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Remembering my parents. Oh, that it were my chief delight to do the things I ought. Then let me try with all my might to mind what I'm taught.
Wherever I am told to go, I'll cheerfully obey. Nor will I mind it much, although I leave a pretty play.
Say when?
I am bid all freely bring
whatever
I have
got
and
never
touch
a
pretty
thing
if
mother
tells
me
not.
Amen.
When she permits me, I may tell about my little toys, but if she's busy or unwell, I must not make a noise.
And when I learn my hymns to say, and work and read and spell, I would not think about my play, but try and do it well.
For God looks down from heaven on high, our actions below. And he pledged when children try to do as they are told. In my words, God has something planned for you. You should stick with that.
Amen. Do you see our fifth commandment there as well? Well, dear ones, I know we are actually over, but you could keep your testimonies until the time that we finish our meetings, and you can be able to share it. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 2 of our lesson entitled On the Mount of Olives in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the little ones, mummies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer of our children's Sabbath school lesson, may you unmute your mic, dear ones. And Jeremiah is going to pray. Go ahead, Jeremiah. Say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On
earth
as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Don't be shy. As we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Ever.
Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will continue our part two from our chapter 69 entitled On the Mount of Olives. And that will be held, dear one, February 6th, 2021. Hope and pray everyone was blessed. And we apologize for the difficulties in our internet. And hoping by God's grace, keep us in prayer that we may be able to better serve the little children with the material. God bless everyone. May you have a blessed rest of the Sabbath.